Look for 7 at 7, local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7 at 7. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for takeaways with me, Heidi Fang. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, and today I'm going to be joined by Raiders fullback Alec Ingold. I'm going to tell you why shortly, but before I do, I'm going to remind you all that we are brought to you by the Las Vegas Review-Journal and also presented to you by Blue Wire. I've also got in store from you some of the best sounds of the week. I'm going to play some things that we had about 7 days ago here on VegasNation.com. You'll hear from Charles Woodson, Jonathan Abram, and also Colton Miller, who just signed a contract extension with the Raiders. He'll also be in charge of holding down the fort on the offensive line. So we'll have all those sounds for you after the Ingold interview. So Alec Ingold is my guest, and as I said, it's going to be a discussion here about something that he has planned in the community. Alec Ingold, as some of you know, was the Raiders nominee for the 2020 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. That award given to a player who personifies excellence on and off the field and has given himself to community service, dedicated himself to volunteer and charity work. And so this all came about when I saw Alec Ingold tweet about a program that he's doing called the Money Minicamp. And the program is built to help 8th through 12th graders learn about business and finance. And when I saw that he was hosting that and the other Raiders were going to be involved too, I thought, well, I should look into this. So I sat down with Ingold to talk about his involvement with the program here in Nevada called Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada. And on May 4th, they're doing a program called JA Inspire. And Alec is the keynote speaker. So he came on to speak with me all about that. And through this virtual event, Alec and the other Raiders players that he's recruited to help him out, like Arden Key, AJ Cole, Marcus Mariota, Tanner Muse, they're all going to be part of this as well, helping out with some virtual series topics that they're going to go through and some short video lessons. So this is really good for the community, and especially given the pandemic, it kind of helps kids to learn how to hone in on their financial skills. And you might be wondering to yourself, well, where did Alec Ingold's passion for all of this come from? For those of you who don't know, he was a finance major at the University of Wisconsin. So that's where it all stemmed from. Once this episode comes to an end, I'm going to drop all the information that you need if you have a child that's from 8th to 12th grade that you think could benefit from this program, or if you're interested in finding out more information for someone else that you know on when this program's taking place and where you can get involved with it. I'll drop all the links in the description of the podcast. And the big thing that is going to draw a lot of people, I'm sure, is 100 of the participating students will be entered in a drawing to win a meet and greet with Alec Ingold. Here we go with Alec Ingold talking about this project, its roots, and how he got such a passion for finance.
I think, you know, pretty much started when my mom was a third grade teacher. So from day one, I knew how important education was. So like, no matter how good I was at whether it was wrestling or baseball or football, I was always at home making sure the books were right. And I think just being raised that way and then going to a great university like Wisconsin, like you said, being able to understand how important that was is something where now I have a platform all of a sudden. Now all of a sudden we're out in Las Vegas and the Raiders moved here, and you see organizations like this doing so much great work in education and financial literacy, and so many things have been going on recently that you're able to understand how important that is. So to be able to kind of be a voice, you know, I know my mom, I'm pretty much saying things that my mom, people's teachers, coaches, parents are telling their kids, but then all of a sudden it's an NFL football player saying it. So hopefully it just gets a little bit more kids' ears perked up when you're telling them all the good things about junior achievement and how important education is.
For the 8th to 12th graders, that's pretty much where it's focused at. Where do you feel like the area is that most of them have the gap that you're trying to help fill?
I would say it's kind of that 10th grade spot, right in the middle, mm-hmm. right? I think that's where kids, you know, if your family is fortunate enough to have a car or vehicle, you can kind of start working at 16 with a parent waiver, and, you know, maybe 18, you're kind of thinking and planning what college is going to look like, what that first job is going to look like. So I think trying to get that information as early as possible where kids are learning and say, oh, I can really take this information and I can change my life right now. You know, that I think that's that 10th grade spot for me. I'm really passionate about that.
Yeah, I can't agree more, because that's the time when kids are starting to try to figure out college. They're trying to figure out their path. And for you, how did you determine that business would be your path? Was it just, like you said, being back at home with your mother? And
yeah, I thought I was going to be an engineer. I went to school trying to be an engineer, and then I saw the course load, and I was like, I'm not going to be an engineer anymore. So just kind of going through that and understanding was important to me, and finding out that personal finance was my little niche. I really, you know, felt passionate about understanding finances, investing, and how to kind of take that stress in some people's life and kind of turn it into a game almost, turn it into excitement, learning a little bit more about it and, you know, taking that stress away from your life of finance and just understanding how the game's played.
Speaking of how the game is played, you kind of came into the NFL undrafted. Mm-hmm. So you had to be able to market yourself. How did the business and ideas that you had, the development, the planning, how did that help you pave your way to the NFL?
Man, it's crazy because, you know, I was cold calling at an internship, just selling insurance, you know, risk management insurance my sophomore year of college. And then you move forward into that undrafted, I did have a job selling Oracle software. So to be able to kind of understand how you're selling other products, right, and you're selling all of these things, you know, you can get told no 100 times over the phone selling some insurance, but when it's yourself and it's your own piece of work and it's your own body trying to be, you know, a football player, being told no is tough. And I was told no during the draft. So understanding that adversity and getting that background of business and being told no 100 times over the phone, it definitely toughened me up a little bit and kind of, you know, made me ready for that moment of saying, you know, that's okay if you don't want me now, I'm going to prove myself. So, you know, that's kind of how the football thing started, and that's how it's really been since then.
Toughening up. I mean, I don't think you need more of that. You broke ribs and then you came back into like the next week. And I think you had told our beat reporter that you were going to put some dirt on it. So I mean, I don't think toughness, you know, for you, it's something that you're used to in many ways, physical, obviously, with what you're doing here, teaching the kids how to have that path. When you start thinking about your career post NFL, mm-hmm. how much does this come into play for you and what you think you might do?
Yeah, I think it's something, it's funny to think about that, right? Because you have a platform with the Raiders and the NFL right now where you can impact kids' lives today. And whether I'm going to play for 10 years, 15 years, or 2 years, you know, I think that being able to understand how much this impact is right now, I have to worry about today. I have to worry about tomorrow and what I'm doing. And, you know, that whole process of being the best version of myself and being able to portray that to these kids growing up, I think that's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on being able to be a role model in this community today and tomorrow. And post NFL, we're going to figure it out there. And, you know, whether that's here, Wisconsin, wherever. But for today, you know, you're worried about these kids in Las Vegas and the personal finance and the financial literacy programs at Junior Achievement. And then you hope that you can create and build something for the future. And it's just day by day, those little details that you can kind of build upon.
What can you tell us about the program for kids that might want to get interested in it, people that aren't enrolled yet that can come to it? How do they go about that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested in Junior Achievement or any financial literacy program, I think doing your own research is huge. And finding a place like this is going to be so big for you, and understanding that you can take this information and you can change your life with it. I promise you. You can take this information, you can study it. And, you know, the blueprints are out there. Whether you want to make $1 million or you want to be able to take that stress away from your life and just understand how money works and how it can be spent, and a depreciating asset versus an appreciating asset. Little terminology like that that you might be able to see, you know, whether it's in the news, all of a sudden you can follow on Twitter. You know, being connected with this information is so huge. So to be able to just take it and learn from it and run with it. And it's going to be so big for you. So reaching out to your teachers, your parents, going online on Google, it's a beautiful machine, and figuring out what Junior Achievement's all about. You know, you can make that decision today.
We'll take a quick break right there. And when we come back, of course I asked Alex some football questions. So you guys want to stay tuned for that right here on the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. Please check out our new 7 at 7 newscast weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Get every bit of local news you need in 7 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Well, Welcome back to the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. It's Heidi Fang, and you've been listening to my interview that I had with Alec Ingold at the Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada offices, for which he is a keynote speaker for a program called JA Inspire, teaching kids about finances and business and how to keep things organized, especially during the economy that we've had based on all that we've seen in 2020 from the pandemic. Alec spoke about how to prepare people for that as well. And of course, like I promised, football questions coming. Let's check back in right now with Alec Ingold.
Yeah, so I think right now you can go to alecingold.com and you can find your way through Money Minicamp, or you can go to jasouthernnevada.com and you can go and sign up there. There's a lot of contact information there where you can tell your teacher, you know, I really want to learn this information. And your teachers can reach out to Junior Achievement, and your whole school, your whole grade can take part in this. So the more schools and the more teachers that we can get involved, the more financial literacy there is in this area. And there's more information, and there's going to be more NFL football players coming to these classrooms, being virtual right up on your screen, being able to tell you lessons that we had to live through. And I think that's so huge. So talking to your parents, talking to your teachers, talking to principals, getting them tied into Junior Achievement is how you can get this information to you.
Now, I don't want to give away your whole spokesperson, you know, that you're going to present to them, but
right.
What is one example of something that you have been through really adverse, a message that you want to pass on to these kids?
I would start with lesson one. I would say it's just, you know, getting that first career cluster and that you're what you're interested in, figuring out what type of jobs you might be good at. And, you know, personally, I was a high school umpire. You know, as a high school kid, I had my parents' Nissan Maxima that I would drive down to the ballpark, and I would ump little kids' youth baseball games because I knew baseball, I knew the rules. I would get $15, $20 a game, and that was gas money, that was food money. And you're able to understand the concept of being paid in cash and working hard for a job, and you're good at it. So you're able to, you know, enjoy your time while you're working. So that was my first job, and it's basically because I enjoyed baseball.
I've got to do this for the fans listening at home. A couple of football questions.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it like right now as you're starting to work through this offseason? It looks like we're starting to get some normalcy back.
Yes.
It looks like you guys are going to be in person ahead of training camp. So how excited are you for the, you know, kind of COVID-19 restrictions to lift?
I mean, we're in the boat as everybody else right now. Everyone's kind of cooped up for a long time, right? So the more that we can get around each other and the more we can come together, it's going to be unbelievable. You know, I think there's moments where we want to play for this community and for this city, right? And to finally have an opportunity for that COVID-19 to kind of be released, and you can be a part of the community a little bit more, and you can go out and you can volunteer, and then you see those faces in the stands, you know, that's going to be so exciting for us. So to be able to kind of have an identity around the city and on our team, you know, I don't think anyone can really wait until that can happen. We're all so excited.
And getting Kenyon Drake this year, what does that mean to your backfield court?
That's dynamic right there. That's speed, and that's an extra little wrinkle that we're going to have in our playbook. So, you know, Coach Gruden's going to go crazy with that. And just being able to draw up new plays and new packages for him, it's going to be exciting. As soon as we get everybody involved, like you were saying, everyone back, everyone working together, you're going to have a lot more wrinkles and a lot more excitement this year for us. So it's going to be exciting.
Different O-line. So I know that that's going to be something you see as a work in progress with how the different pieces mm-hmm. fall into place. So for you, when you start thinking about the different components of the offensive line as it comes into 2021, what are your initial thoughts on some of the new players coming in?
I think we trust all of our guys. You know, I think there's going to be a little bit of reshuffling, but you have, you know, a guy in Andre James that a lot of guys trust, a lot of guys see come to work every single day. You have Denzel Good going to be able to step up just like he was last year. Richie Incognito, you hope he's back. Colton Miller and Brandon Parker, you know, you got some guys that have played some ball now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, offensive line's always been our number one strength. So for Josh and I in the backfield and Kenyon and all these guys outside and Darren Waller, you know, we have a lot of weapons for Derek Carr. So now it's time for us to be a little bit more balanced and to give that little aspect of football and as an offense to be explosive and then also diligent with running the ball and passing the ball. It's exciting, and you trust those guys to make it work up front because they're awesome, and Coach Cable is awesome up front. So we're going to have an awesome time. It's going to be exciting.
Last one for me. What can fans expect from you in the 2021 season? What have you worked on here in the offseason?
oh, what can the fans expect from me? They're going to get hard working lunch pail guy, just like you always have. And, you know, working a lot on these routes out with Derek out at the random parks around Vegas. So hopefully I can add a little bit of routes, hopefully running the ball a little bit, and then just being an awesome blocker for Josh and being a team guy, being on special teams, being able to be in the locker room and just being an energy, you know, being able to kind of bring that hardworking mentality to the Raiders. And we have a bunch of guys that are like that. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Great stuff. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. And I think you hit all the websites and everything you wanted to for Junior Achievement. Is there anything on the list there that you might want to put out for everybody to know about Junior Achievement Program?
Yeah, I think we're trying to step it up a little bit on social media too. So if you can follow Junior Achievement on social media, if you could follow me as well, you know, we're going to be posting all this stuff out for you guys. So if your teachers, if your parents can't get you signed up for Money Minicamp for whatever reason, follow them and get that information that way. You know, there's a bunch of different avenues you can work it.
That was Alec Ingold, Raiders fullback. I sure thank him for the time and for the Junior Achievement offices of Southern Nevada for setting up that interview. And now I'm going to get into some of the best sounds of the week. I had the opportunity to be a part of several interviews in the past week, all involving Raiders and Raider greats. We were able to hear from Colton Miller last week, so I want to deliver some of that sound. Him talking about what it's like now taking on the leadership role for the team, being that Rodney Hudson is gone, as well as some others on the offensive line that really helped him move along. But it seemed like Hudson was the guy for him that really helped him grow and untap his potential. So let's hear from Colton Miller about what it means to him now to take over that leadership role for this offensive line.
Rodney, it was great having him here these past couple years. He was a huge help from my rookie year to this past year. But he's not only taught me, but Andre James, another lineman we just signed or extended. And he's really taught him the ropes. And I'm really excited for Andre and this opportunity too. You know, I work with him every day, and you know, I feel confident in what he can do. You know, obviously there's going to be competition, but you know, I think we have a good group ahead of us, and you know, we're just going to continue to work hard together. We're going to continue to invest. I trust Tom Cable. I trust me, Richie, Denzel, and Andre, and whoever we choose to, Jared. John Simpson, whoever we bring in, you know, we'll be okay. You know, we'll continue to work hard and get the job done. I try to get together as much as I can with the younger guys. I try to get in extra work. I try to lead by example. Really excited to take this team to the next level, and I'm going to do all I can to do that.
In 2019, the Raiders had 3 picks in the first round: Cleveland Furl, Josh Jacobs, and Jonathan Abram. Now, Jonathan Abram has just basically finished his rookie season, as most of you know. And on a project I work with Sam Gordon that's still up on VegasNation.com and on LVRJ.com, Abram talked about growing bigger, faster, and stronger in 2021 and what it means to finally have a season under his belt. So let's hear from Jonathan Abram on what it's been like for him growing as a safety in the NFL.
That was the biggest thing for me coming into this offseason healthy. Just starting off last year, you know, with the whole shoulder injury, you know, pretty much coming in behind the eight ball, I was overweight. Mentally, it's just refreshing. Knowing that I'm completely healthy, you know, have a full offseason, be able to take full advantage of it. Get bigger, faster, and stronger. That's my biggest concerns as of right now. Just trying to get my body in shape for this long and rigorous season. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, COVID came in last year. The restrictions kind of messed up a lot of things. You know, looking forward to not having to deal with all of that and just being able to go out and play football. Just focusing on, you know, keeping my mental strong and, you know, getting my body together. That's it. I mean, I feel like we're going to make strides. I mean, just as a whole, as a group, as DBs, linebackers, D-line, defense, as an entire core. You know, we got the new DC, new coaches. Biggest thing, you know, we just got to come in and buy in. And from there, I mean, you know, we're going to play for each other, you know, play for the silver and black, and then we're going to be okay.
Lastly, I have to throw this out there. Our own Cassie Soto was able to speak with Charles Woodson, and I want to deliver some of that now, and especially the part where he talked about Jonathan Abram not having reached out to him. It seemed there was some back and forth with Jonathan Abram's agent saying that that wasn't the case, that he had reached out, but it was on social media. So I don't know. I don't check my social media that often as much as I should, and all these DMs and everything, and I apologize to people for that all the time. So if that's where Woodson's coming from, I mean, who even knows if he runs his own account, first of all? But I wanted to deliver some of that interview because I think it's really great to hear from the Raider greats, and his alcohol line is now going to be carried at the Raiders Tavern and Grill that is now open inside the M Hotel Casino Resort, and we were part of the grand opening for it just recently. That was just about 1 week ago today. I want to make sure that we hear now from Raiders Hall of Famer Charles Woodson and what it meant to him to get that Hall of Fame nod.
That, this is the stuff that dreams are made of, you know, when you're a little kid, you know, and you think about playing sports at a professional level. This is like the holy grail, you know, of events that could happen to you in your life, man. A lot of hard work has gone into it. You know, a lot of coaching, a lot of help, a lot of great friends, a lot of great teammates, a lot of great coaches, man, that have helped along the way, that are part of the journey. And you know, I'm very lucky, you know, very blessed. To be in this position, to call myself a Hall of Famer, man. So, hey, what could be better? You know, I think, you know, I just today I've talked about the fact that when I got to the Raiders, you know, we were always surrounded by the Raiders greats. You know, the old Raiders, the guys that, you know, all of the old films were about, man. You know, Willie Brown was in our, you know, defensive back meetings, you know, helping us as a defensive back coach. Freddie Biletnikoff was there, you know, helping with the receivers. Jim Otto was in the building. Cliff Branch was always around, you know. So we got to always see, you know, walking greatness, you know, every time we went to work. And I think that was pretty special, because I don't know how many teams, you know, have their former players always around at practice. And so that made it a lot of fun, man. I developed some great relationships. George Atkinson, you know, good friend of mine, man. We used to always go back and forth on the sidelines, man, having a good time. So just the fact that I was able to go to a professional team and then be around great players, some Hall of Famers, man, that knew how to get it done, man, guys that I could talk to on a daily basis, was everything. So I appreciated that time with the Raiders.
Do you find a lot of the younger players reaching out to you? There's another guy trying to sport 24 right now. Is he reaching out to you and trying to get any tips, some help, some advice on even what to do after football?
No, you know, he hasn't reached out, and you know, of course, it's his prerogative. You know, if he ever does, you know, I'm here. But you know, I leave that up to the young guys, man. You know, the thing about, you know, this game is sometimes you feel like you got to figure it out by yourself, and that's fine. Everybody has to go through their growing pains as a player, and so for all of those young guys, man, the best thing you can do as an athlete really is to make sure you're prepared. You know, when the season comes around, make sure you know what to do, and do it fast. And so as long as they do that, you know, they'll be fine.
That was former Raiders defensive back and Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson. Let's hope he and Jonathan Abram can get together. Let's hope maybe this podcast or some of those videos out there on VegasNation.com can spurn that relationship blossoming. That'll do it for the takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast today. Alec again is involved with JA Inspire. He's the keynote speaker for their event taking place May 4th and for the Money Minicamp. To get all the information you need on joining either of these events, you can check it out on jasnv.org. That's jasnv.org/AlecIngold's Money Minicamp. There's also a link on Alec Ingold's own website. That's alecingold.com/moneyminicamp. Check it out there and you'll find out how to get enrolled, when this is all taking place, how long it'll be, and most importantly, Will one of the students that you enroll get to meet Alec Ingold? There's a meet and greet taking place after the end of the session that he's putting together for this virtual event. So everybody, check all this out. And a special thank you to the Junior Achievement Program of Southern Nevada for helping me out with the interview, and Alec Ingold as well. And that'll do for me today. Make sure to check everything out that we do on VegasNation.com. I'll post a video of this interview there as well when this podcast is posted. And you can also check everything out that we are doing by downloading the Vegas Nation app and following me on Twitter at Heidi Fang. Thanks everyone so much for listening. I'll be back next week. Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.